Hello, David.
Evening, Paul.
Evening. Hi. Right, I'm Paul Sott, and I've got David Streder on the line again tonight. We thought we'd get one more audio cast in before Christmas. Haven't done one for a few weeks. Just to reiterate before we start that nothing we say are recommendations or advice, just opinions, and the audio cast should just be treated purely as entertainment. So, okay, right, let's crack on then, David. So we're going to do this in two parts. Part one, we're going to review recent results and trading updates from companies that we think look interesting. So should we just launch straight into that?
Yeah.
First one was a company I know you like called, now obviously David and I will own shares in a lot of these. We're only going to talk about companies we think are interesting, and obviously we'll hold shares in them if we think they're interesting. So that's a given, I think. So Ensor's, you're quite keen on this one, aren't you? Could you outline why?
Yes, I mean, I've held shares in Ensor's for about, must be 8 years or so, I think, maybe even longer.
Mm. And the ticker, I should say the ticker is ESR.
It's a company that's pretty much a family firm, really, and I do have a lot of holdings in family firms. They come to market because it's good for them for various reasons, including inheritance tax for family members. And I think just generally, long-term family commitment is very good within a company because no one director or management team or board are going to really want to go gung-ho when it's lots of family members that depend on them. So, you know, they usually work well with dividends, etc., for individual shareholders as well. Anyway, now I've explained why family firms are generally good for me. Ensor in particular, they got a lot of freeholds. They're a well-run building materials group, and they made a very, very nice not so much acquisition. They took a company that was pretty much in administration that had got in a mess called Technicover, and it was doing very important grills and security fixings for the utility companies, and certainly wasn't a company that anyone would want to let go and not have around for the important things that it provided. So Ensor's were called in to try and have a look at taking over to provide the working capital they needed.
Mm.
And hence they got it for a very, very low price. In fact, you know, I think I don't really pay more than £1 effectively, but they had to put in about £1 million of working capital. So that was where they came in. And now the Technicover division, in fact, the recent announcement with the results was that Ensor had paid the key management at Technicover effectively nearly £1 million worth of stock options paid up. So that suggests that, you know, that the whole of Technicover is now worth around £10 million. So that in itself shows they recovered well.
Yeah, and the interims, I see, I mean, like the December, the interims are out, and operating profit was up 98% to $1.3 million for six months. Looks as if it's on a P of about 10, with a dividend yield of about 2.5%. I think that could be a bit lower than that, actually. I think the estimates, actually, those are not estimates looking at it. Those are just trailing 12-month figures, so could be cheaper than that. I must admit, I looked at it on the 9th of December and thought it looked good. Okay, we better keep moving. So that was Ensor's. Next one I know is a stock you're very, very keen on, that you've done extremely well on, the butcher's chain, Crawshaw.
Yeah.
Ticker CRAW. Now, they shot up last week on what seemed to me excellent news. They've poached the chief operating officer, I think, from Lidl UK.
Lidl UK,
a coup. I mean, he's done a rollout from 200 stores to 600 stores.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel about that? Pretty positive.
Well, immediately the announcement came out, I think everybody was Googling to see who he was and his LinkedIn profile and everything they could on him. I mean, I pretty much did the same. In fact, I sent a text out to quite a few friends who were in Crawshaw's and people who knew a fair bit about the food industry. And one of them actually texted me back and said, I was on a course with this guy. And he said he's incredibly good, very sharp, very, you know, they really liked him. And I don't think Lidl wanted to let him go either. In fact, he's not allowed to start until until March. But
yeah,
I mean, he's only 39, and he's done an incredible job there. You know, it really is a coup. You're right, and Crawshaw's have got the money there. They've raised the money earlier in the year to build out all these stores, so they're going to go for it. That's clear.
Yeah, because I mean, the valuation looks very high, but obviously it's a rollout now, isn't it? So, but I think they're going to have to do 2 or 3 years worth of growth to justify the current valuation, aren't they? But, I mean, is that how you see it? Or?
I'm not sure about need to do 2 or 3 years. I mean, I think there'll be a good 6 months of, you know, he's going to have to bed in. He'll want to build a team around him to do everything that needs to be done. But, you know, it's one of those situations where Crawshaws don't need big stores. You know, it's not like a Lidl where you've got to probably find a really big unit.
Yeah.
So, you know, the high street, especially in the north where they're doing a lot of this, you know, it's littered with, you know, opportunity in the high streets to pick off
very low rents, I would imagine.
Very low rents, you know, and in fact, you know, I do know that Crawshaws have been picking up places where they're almost being paid to go into. So
Yeah, really premiums and things and rent
So, okay. You know, I don't think it'll take too long, Paul. I think once they get moving, they'll be going at quite a rate.
Yeah, okay. So that's that one. Next one, they were very good, beating forecast results from Zitronic, which is one of my favourite little small caps. 44 million market cap, ticker ZYT. It's quite interesting because it's got about, I think almost 20% of the, 17% roughly of the market cap is net cash. Good dividend yield on that one. I spoke to the CEO there and the FD shortly after the results, and they just seemed a lot more relaxed, a lot more happy than they did a year ago when the company was still recovering from a profit warning. And if you strip the cash out, it's not expensive, even though the shares have doubled from the low. I think it's on a forward P of about 13. Nice little company. They do the touch, what do you call them, touch-sensitive screens, but they do bespoke ones and large ones, you know, for vending machines and gaming machines. So I really like that stock. Have you looked at that one, David, recently?
No, not recently. I spoke with management. I'm the same as you. I spoke with management, I think it was about a year ago. Hadn't really followed up too much. But that does show the benefit of keeping in touch with management and seeing the story through, because if you get a feel for how they react to things and what, you know, the tone of their voice and when they're confident and not confident, it does help you to understand what's going on at a company.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they're just good, steady, hard-working, modestly paid, you know, low six-figure salary for the CEO.
Yeah.
They're just a hard-working, hands-on management team, I think, so I like
based
that.
Based in the northeast, I think.
Based in the northeast,
generally fairly
solid. Yeah, I agree. Okay, we're then just going to really just touch on a couple of oil and gas stocks. Not my area at all, but I'm starting to sniff around potential value in some of the oil services companies. One I bought recently is Pressure Technologies, ticker PRES. Really good results. The shares have just been in an absolute nosedive. They've roughly halved, I think, from the peak.
Yeah.
They're about £3.70 odd, I think, I bought at. Any views on that one?
Well, they did quite a decent sized fundraising as well, only about 6 months ago.
That was
at about £5.50. So I met with management when the results came out. Funnily enough, I've only got a very 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 small holding there, but I arranged a meeting for about 10 investors, which was I wouldn't say revealing. They admitted that obviously they're coming under pressure on the.
When did you meet them, Dave?
About 2 weeks
recently.
Ago.
Oh, okay, quite recently.
Yeah, when they had results out. And, you know, naturally all the supply companies to the oil and gas sector are, you know, seeing now a change in the way they're getting their orders. But they've got quite a decent order book as it stands. So I guess the next, the current 6 months will be probably not too revealing by itself, but I think we'll, you know, after that, unless the oil price picks up, probably orders will start to drop off. So.
Yeah, it's like they said something like that in the outlook statement.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's inevitable, isn't it, with all these oil services companies? It's just a question of how far things are going to go down before it all recovers potentially in the future. So.
And I'll give management credit at Pressure Technology. They have been looking recently at moving away from dependence on that sector, and they have done one or two deals already that meant that they're not as dependent, but it takes time.
Goodwin said the same thing last week in their results, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's plummeting as well. I mean, the problem I've got with looking at these things, how do you value them? Given that we don't know now what the future holds for these companies, they're almost impossible to value, aren't they?
Yeah, and who would have thought, you know, the oil price would have dropped off at the rate it has. So,
absolutely, you know, incredible.
So they just don't know when it's going to recover. I mean, sometimes when things drop off so rapidly, of course, they can recover very quickly as well, but they just don't know.
No, that's right. Okay, moving on fairly briskly, because we've already used about half the time for part one. OPay, now that's an interesting one. Optical Payments, ticker OPAY.
Yeah.
Now, this is the one they got caught up in the Equity First Holdings scandal.
Yeah.
Now, you and I have both spoken to the company about this.
Yeah.
I mean, my feeling is, yes, it was a black mark against the company, but it was very clearly not a disguised method of selling shares. It was a question of the CEO wanted to borrow some money for a property deal, and to a certain extent, you know, he was given advice that led him to believe this was a perfectly reasonable company to deal with, and it's all blown up unexpectedly in his face. I mean, that's so. I'm fairly forgiving towards OPay over this particular deal.
Yeah.
And do you have any?
I'm exactly with you on that, Paul. I mean, the all the noise coming out from the company as far as trading is concerned has been
positive,
very good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not as if the company's not performing and that he's looking to exit. It was, from what we can see, a genuine property transaction that he needed the money for.
Mm.
And, you know, I just see it as probably a pair of, including, of course, we've had the FD who's been
changed. Yes.
It feels like a couple of own goals in the way that they were announced as opposed to actually being...
I agree. Because the change in CFO was actually an upgrade.
That's
what's so bizarre.
You're terribly nice there, Paul, an upgrade of...
Well, no, the company wanted somebody with main market experience, and they moved in a guy, a more experienced, more heavyweight CFO.
Yeah.
The market, bizarrely, sold off the shares 30% on the news.
Yeah.
Just really, really perplexing.
But once a company's had an own goal, first of all, and looks a little bit like it's not hiding something, but that there's an issue, I think then when an FD then announces, not the FD announces, but the company announces a change of FD, the market starts to panic even more. So they really needed a very strong announcement when they changed the FD. It almost had to spell everything out in absolute total as to why they were doing it. And they didn't, of course. So it meant that there was an extra weakness came into the share price.
Yeah, I mean, I've used this as an opportunity. I bought a heavy buyer last Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think it's got potentially quite interesting upside on it. I'm not sure it's the type of company I'd want to hold forever. You know, although I'm warming towards keeping some of my trading shares as a longer-term thing as well.
Yeah.
Don't know on that one, but yeah, I think it's interesting. Oh, we've got to talk about Quindel, haven't we? What's your latest view on that?
Well, I mean, I can honestly say I've never ever held them long nor short, but I've watched it with, you know, amazing interest. Just at the way some of the things have been done, and it doesn't, to be honest, it doesn't give me any confidence in the way the market operates as far as regulations and things, because it looks bad for the whole of the market, especially because it's an AIM company again, and it's, you know, always seen that it's, you know, high risk. But I mean, this was a 1.8 billion market cap at one point.
I know.
You know, it does nobody any credit that it can go all the way down with all the things that have happened. And I mean, for the you know, the founder to sort of sell his shares as well now, it just looks terrible, really. He's more or less saying...
Well, I mean, that tells you everything you need to know,
doesn't it? He's putting two fingers up to everyone, isn't he? Really?
Yes. I mean, I think the thing that we... Well, I wouldn't be long, because, I mean, they've got investigating accountants in at the moment from PwC. That happened to me once when I was an FD, so I know the process. I've been on the receiving end of the process of investigating accountants come in, and they come in at the insistence of the bank, because I've had it... I've been there. You know, the company has to pay the fee, the accountants are in for a few weeks. They produce a report, which is for the bank. They will only show the company part of the report, but any particularly damning bits, they'll redact, so the company is paying for a report, but it's not even allowed to see the juiciest bits.
Oh, God.
And very, very often those reports are used by the bank as a justification for just pulling the facilities.
Yeah.
So I think there's a very considerable risk that Grindal's banks could just pull the plug on it. Although that very rarely happens at the moment with listed companies.
Mm.
You know, the banks are under political pressure not to pull the rug out from under big-name companies. So, I don't know. And I think there's probably some value in some of the subsidiaries within Grindal.
Yeah.
I don't know, the whole thing's a mirage, you know. So I've closed most of my shorts on it. I've closed 90% of my shorts on it. I've just got a little bit left just for sort of, you know, I don't know why really. But we'll see. It would be nice to have a little.
To feel you were there right at the end.
Yeah, exactly. So that's an interesting one. I mean, private investors have been completely shafted on that.
Yeah.
And yet they're still in denial, a lot of them. That's the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
They blame the evil shorters. You know, when they should be turning their fire on the guy who conned them, Mr. Terry. So, and then now Reddy, formerly Help Hire.
Yeah.
Red, R-E-D-D-E. I don't know what, I think it's some sort of Latin name. Now, they must be picking up business from Grindal being under pressure, you would imagine.
Similar well, you would think so. I mean, the trouble is, you know, all companies in the space to a certain extent get tainted with the same brush. So it might be that they're not really reflecting it at the moment. But I do think that longer term, they should benefit. And
they put out a very good trading statement.
They did.
Very recently, didn't they? Great dividends there as well.
Yeah, I mean, they are different to Grindal, let's say that for me. I mean, they are a, you know, cash-generating company, and they pay...
Yeah, they collect their cash in very quickly, don't they?
Yeah.
They seem to work in properly in unison with the insurers, which Grindal always claimed to do, but it clearly didn't, judging by the extent of their debtors.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, I hate the sector, but of companies in it, Reddy is probably the best of a bad lot.
Yeah, if they're working alongside.
I think I've got some of them somewhere in one of my.
Yeah, no, I hold so. Yeah.
I mean, so they flagging it off, even though I own a few.
They pay an incredible dividend, Paul.
I know.
It's about 9%. So.
Yeah. No, it's not bad, is it? Another quick, just moving swiftly on, because we're running out of time. A stock I've looked at recently called DX Group, and the ticket is DX full stop. That one has a really good forward dividend yield of about 7.5%. The forward PE is about 8. It's got hardly any debt because it's a recent float. Most of the debt was paid off, you know, when it IPO'd. And it makes a really good operating margin of about 9%, I think. I think that's well worth a look. I can't see what the catch is. I mean, the shares are dropping quite a lot at the moment, so you do wonder, is there a profit warning on the way? So maybe it's best to hang fire. I don't know.
Have you spoken to management at all there, Paul?
No, I haven't. I don't.
I'll make a note of this one and have a dig in.
Yeah, have a look at it. I'd be interested in your view on it. They're a sort of courier, high-end courier service, which I think part of it is the DX service that solicitors use. You know,
well, I remember my solicitor when I was involved in lots and lots of property transactions.
Mm.
He used to have a DX code that they...
Yeah, they have a number, don't they? A five-digit number on their paper.
And they send everything between themselves through that.
That's right.
So.
Apparently it came about because the GPO were always on strike in the 1970s.
Yeah, right.
So they set up their own postal service in competition.
From what you're saying, it's unusual, really, at IPO that actually debt gets paid off. Usually, that whoever's selling it on wants to raise up a load of debt and, you know,
make it
look
attractive. Its debt level was very low relative to EBITDA for the most recent published accounts. Although I'm a bit worried it might be a sort of declining business.
That sounds more the issue.
Which could be why.
But it's a bit of a closed network, and if obviously the
more is going to be
growing.
Yeah,
I don't think we realise how much solicitors have been under pressure for the last few years. You
That's
know,
true. Yeah, legal aid's been...
They're not a growing, sector, really. Yeah.
No, more stuff's going by email as well, isn't it? I mean, a property that I rent, I did the latest lease renewal. It was all done electronically. No paper at all. You know, you sign... Both parties sign it through this electronic portal.
Right.
Which was quite interesting. Avesco was another one that put out, I think they put out quite a good trading statement last week. This is ticker AVS. It's only 20 million market cap. I think it's potentially interesting, this one. I don't think you've looked at this recently.
No, not recently. I remember looking at it a few years ago when they had a Disney dispute.
Yeah, it's worth a look, that one. They do they have Goodyear Badger cycle because of they do outdoor events, you know, and certain events are every 2 years.
Yeah.
So I think they're currently in the Goodyear, so the PE looks really, really cheap. But you've got to allow for the fact that next year won't be as good. But
feast and famine a little bit.
Exactly right, yeah. But you see, that's got a dividend yield of about 5.5%, so I quite like that one. Very
we're mentioning a few good dividend yields, Paul.
Yeah, I like the divvies. Yeah, I like the divvies. They just, especially with interest rates so low, some of these companies, you can get sustainable yields of between 5 and 8%, and it's not bad going, is it, really?
Yeah.
GVC is another high
That's another one with a high dividend,
I mean, that's about 9%, the dividend yield.
Yeah.
What are your
thoughts? Well, I've been in these for years. I mean, it's the gaming sector, and, of course, they're sports betting as well, and they're in a few, I won't say exotic territories, but they're in areas where, you know, regulation can be an issue, and if some of the countries start to clamp down, then GVC might well lose some of its business. So you've got to be...
Which is actually an issue that affects OPEI as well, isn't it?
It is as well, yeah.
You
so
could have suddenly a, you know,
Yeah, we've got to be aware of those things, because if you know, you wake up one morning and they've lost 20% of the business, of course that will mean the share.
I know, not without risk, are they? But GVC's, 8.3% for dividend yield.
Yeah.
8.4 PE, according to Stock.
And their trading is nearly always very, very strong. You know, actually, in each of these territories, they're actually growing the business as well. So it's not just a step.
Yeah.
It's actually growing quite significantly. So, and the World Cup this year that we just had was very good for them. They built a lot of new business in that.
Yes.
So,
but I think they said in their outlook statement, obviously, that then means next year will be lower because of, or could be softer.
Well, it'll be a bit softer around the same period because there will have been a lot of trade done during the World Cup. But I think they picked up a lot of new clients, of course, during the World Cup. People to do better. And if they've kept those people, I don't know whether they won during the World Cup or not, but I mean, you know, once they get involved with having a particular,
they're more likely to bet on. Yeah, that's right. Okay, should we skip my sale? We know that was just a profit warning.
I don't know anything about that.
No, we'll skip that one. Another little value share with a good dividend yield that I like, which no one else seems to be interested in, is called Entu. It's another recent float. They do home improvements, you know, conservatories, double glazing, solar panels, all that sort of thing. And that's got a forward yield of 8%, which is worth a look as well.
Where do they get some of these names from?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, as soon as you said that, I thought of Intu, which I think
the name
change for a lot of these shopping centres.
That's right. Yeah, it was, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Michelmersh Bricks have also reported. I know that's one you arranged.
Yeah, that's another. I've been in it for years because
you had them along to Mellow, didn't you? About two or three years ago.
I think about 3 years ago. I mean, they were a play on the fact that when the clay and things that they need for making the bricks, they finish a site and seal it up, and effectively it can be built on then after that. Well, they had a huge site up in Telford in. Towards the north, just north of Midlands, and they at one point had a few house builders chasing a deal for that site, and I thought this looks good when you value it all. But as far as the bricks are concerned, for about the last 6 or 7 years, they don't seem to have made much money on the bricks.
I know. Well, I upset their CEO because I said to him, I remember at the Mellow in the Q&A, I said to him, you haven't got a business here. It doesn't make any money.
Yeah.
And he said to me, we most certainly do have a business. You know, he got really uptight with it.
But, well, they'd always come up with an excuse as to why, you know, they weren't making very much money, if they were making any money.
Yeah,
usually the gas prices had gone up and it was costing so much for the input costs that they had for, for making the brick. And the other thing that was often a problem with Michelmersh, they just couldn't get the prices they wanted for the bricks. You know, for years it seemed like the demand and supply was out of balance.
But it's gone the other way now, hasn't it?
Because it has.
They're talking about a real shortage of bricks, would you believe?
Desperate for bricks, and yet they don't seem to make huge amounts of money. You'd think it'd swing the other way, and they'd be able to say, actually, you only gave us 50p per brick last year. We want £1 this year. But it's as if they've only got a certain number of customers. They don't want to annoy them because they know they need them in the good and the bad times.
Could be. I mean, looking at Stockopedia here, the broker consensus has tripled over the last 12 months almost, from a penny share EPS to nearly 3p share EPS. So it looks as if they're in a sort of earnings upgrade cycle. So maybe they'll outperform against this forecast. It doesn't look cheap though. I mean, ticker's MBH. Forward PE is quite high, 23-24.
Yeah.
I think that's probably fully valued.
So it needs a bit more upgrading yet to come to
it does. Should we skip Tribal Group? They just had a profit warning. I don't think there's anything to add to that, is there, unless you've looked at it? No. Okay. Another building type company that I've quite like the look of is Lowe and Bonar, ticker LWB. Yeah. Their shares have halved recently, but it's another one where it's got a very nice dividend yield, nearly 6%. I think that one looks quite interesting. 161 million market cap. There's quite a lot of debt though with this one. Have you looked at this one? Or?
No, I've not looked close at it, but some of these, when they have a high level of debt, of course, can put people off. And
It's worth having. I'd be interested in your views on that. It's worth you having a look at, I think.
Mm.
It's not one I'm going to buy a lot of because there's too much debt, but it's starting to look interesting. PE of 8, and the last trading statement wasn't that bad. You know, it was mildly disappointing.
Mm.
And they're geared up to a recovery in Europe as well. I saw some interesting stats on German consumer confidence, which is coming back strongly, apparently. So they reckon the German economy might well be sort of pulling out of the doldrums fairly soon, and who knows, maybe we'll see an end.
That sounds like a company, Paul. If it comes off a low and has a boner, you'll be well aware.
Yes, was that one of your... I didn't quite catch that. It was one of your jokes,
probably
wasn't it?
Probably best you didn't catch that one. But anyway.
Seeing Machines surprised everyone with another fundraising, didn't it? The Australian technology thing. I really like this one. I think it's speculative, but they're really in a sweet spot in terms of the product. So personally, I'm not worried about them raising a bit more money and really going for it. But what's your view?
Well, I've been to quite a few meetings with management on this part, and I was absolutely staggered a year ago, whenever it was, when they were looking to raise money. I put money into the placing, and they raised about four or five times more than they needed at that point.
Yes, that's right.
Like they needed. And the management team there are very much, I don't know, I find, it's not often I find myself not transfixed, but sort of more or less thinking, these guys look like they could really do something.
Mm.
And then, you know, things settle down and I start to, you know, when I'm not seeing the management in front of me, I start to think, am I doing the right thing here?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I question myself a lot.
I know, me too. There's a market cap's nearly 50 million, and it's loss-making, very small company. So if they don't succeed in commercialising this technology, it's going all back down to a penny a share, isn't it?
Yeah.
On the other hand, you know, this is technology that is probably going to end up in more or less every vehicle on the road in about 10 years' time.
Yeah. It's an exciting company to be involved with, and I can see why, you know, other people do like it. But it's one of those, I've taken enough money out to mean I'll never wake up in the morning and find that I've got an issue over it and thinking I shouldn't have fallen in love with a management team or whatever.
No, so, yeah, same here, actually. Okay, a character group, the Toys lost their results. That's on a very, very modest valuation. I don't know, have you seen that one?
Not for a good few years.
PCT.
It's a fairly strong management team there, but I've always been of the opinion that They tend to look after...
Oh, I got you back. Yeah. I lost you then for a few seconds. Are you wandering around?
No. I'm in one place. They're quite a good management team. Obviously, it's very focused on toys and whatever, which this time of year always seems like a good place to be. But, it pays a dividend, you know, steady little
forward,
company.
Forward PE of 7.
Yeah.
Not bad, is it?
Yeah.
No significant amount of debt. Okay, let's, now AO World, I wanted to have a few words on that. I'm currently short of that one, and I'm getting spanked on that short, I must admit. I watched the video, because you had the CEO of this company?
Yes, yeah.
You had him along to Mellow Derby, didn't you?
And John Roberts,
he gave a talk which tremendously impressive on, and you've put these on the internet, haven't you?
Yeah, they're now available online for download. I will give you the link to the downloads, but I mean just to mention him from the outset. I mean he's an impressive guy, and there's no doubt he's built an incredible business from scratch with AO. And anybody as a customer that you speak to, and I speak to lots of them, they're all so impressed with the company. It could be one of those things that it's good to be in as a customer, not necessarily always good to be in as a shareholder. Because the margins are really, you know, they're really quite low, obviously, in shifting big white goods around the country. But a terribly impressive video when people watch it. I mean,
he knows what
he's doing. And, you know, logistics-wise and everything, they're an impressive outfit. But
it's mainly a logistics company, basically.
It is. Mm. But one thing I will say, at Derby, you could tell so many people were impressed with the guy. And even though it's a big market cap, we know it listed at probably way too high a price, really.
It's about 1.3 billion, yeah.
And it fell all the way down because no doubt there were very few buyers that were individual investors looking to buy at the rating it was on. But once he spoke at Derby, the share price has gone up by about 70 or 80%. And it's been small buyers. You know, it's a fairly illiquid. For the size of company, it's fairly illiquid.
Yes. No, that's right. I mean, I think everything he said in this video was fantastic. It was all about customer service, you know, brilliant guy, but it's not worth 1.15 billion, nowhere near. So I'm staying at the moment. And I mean, I think his assertion that he, you know, more or less said that we're going to take 30% of the whole European market as if it's a given, I thought was a bit crazy, really. You know, they're going to have lots of competition and...
I agree the valuation's getting very high again. I mean, I'm neutral on it. I'm not going to go short because I just think he's a great guy and I wish him every success possible.
Yeah, well, likewise. Yeah. Okay, well, let's wrap up part one and then we'll come back for part two and just talk about more general investing themes and so on. So,
great.
Okay, I'll sign off now, David, and if you wouldn't mind bringing me back, we'll do part two.
Great.
Cheers. Thanks. Bye.